up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
Welcome, everybody. I am Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on Civic Media. You can always download the app and listen to us anywhere you are, so you don't even have to be in the Civic Media broadcast region, although that has expanded greatly. Really good to be back on air. Yesterday, I thanked a couple of important people, but I forgot one, Evan. I was super embarrassed. And that's you.
Oh, my goodness. Producer. My goodness. Thank you so much. I'm having a blast. And I'm the lucky one.
Oh, stop. This is really going to be a lot of fun, and I hope folks tune in and call us up today. You can join the conversation, suggest a topic, tell me how I'm wrong, or just ask Evan what his favorite music is. 844-967-2789. But let's jump right in here. I wanted to talk a little bit about the decision today that came down in Florida, where a federal judge ordered Florida to stop enforcing the bans put in place by Governor Ron DeSantis banning gender-affirming care for youth. And specifically, the order issued an injunction barring enforcement of those laws, specifically as to the care that three families would like to obtain for their children. And here's what I want to ask you all. Do you think that you should be able to decide what kind of medical care your children get, right? I think that's the question, right? Because that's what we're talking about, that you, in consultation with medical experts, and to the extent that the medical care may implicate your religious beliefs, that you, in consultation with medical experts and your family's faith leaders, should be able to determine medical care without interference from the state for your children. I want to hear from you. I especially want to hear from some of the more conservative callers that might be listening. Join us. Tell me what you think and why this is different. 844-967-2789. Do you think that families should be able to determine what medical care their children receive without undue interference or limitation from the state? Seems to me this is one of those values that should unite conservatives and liberals, that we all want to be able to determine how our kids are treated from a medical perspective. And here's what, I'll take this even a step further. And yes, we are sometimes talking about people under the age of 18. And I want to dispel these rumors and crazy things that seem to get floated about. We're not talking about surgical procedures for young children, okay? That's not what this is about. For example, we may be talking about hormone blockers. DeSantis's law banned the prescribing of hormone-blocking drugs. And lurking behind this, and I'm going to read you a little bit from the decision today because I think the judge was just spot on. Lurking behind this transphobia, it is truly this belief that gender dysmorphia or gender identity isn't a real thing. And that anyone that says that they would like to express a gender that they identify with, which was not their gender at birth or their natal gender, sometimes the technical term used, that those people are evil, wrong, misguided, and they shouldn't be permitted to do so. And that, to me, seems completely contrary to our American value of self-determination. So here, to me, we're talking about the intersections of two things, which I think, again, whether conservative or liberal, left or right, we hold very dear to us as Americans, and that is self-determination and helping our children decide who they're going to be, but ultimately that each human being should enjoy that most fundamental of element of human dignity, and that is self-determination, and that while someone is under the age of 18, it shouldn't be the state that tells that child who they can be or the bounds of their decisions. It should be their parents. and their family in line with the best ideas and information that we have from the medical community. So I just want to read you a little bit. Again, call in if you would like to weigh in, especially some conservative folks, 844-967-2789. Here's what the judge had to say about this. This is Judge Robert Hinkle in a decision handed down today. And the first and most important point was that the judge said that the parents are likely to prevail on their constitutional claims here. And they argued that DeSantis's laws violate the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause because they single out transgender children, blocking them from obtaining medically necessary care. I mean, let's extend this a wee bit. If we are a nation not of secular laws and a fundamental agreement that self-determination and a parent's right to parent a child should be free from extraordinary government intrusion, then how is this okay? I don't understand that. It wouldn't the logical extension be if we're going to fully embrace a religiously based or Christian-based understanding of what our rights to self-determination be, why isn't it then okay for Ron DeSantis to pass a law that prevents parents from providing birth control to their children under the age of 18? Because, you know, premarital sex is a bad idea. The judge issued a 44-page order, fairly lengthy, in which he said this: the elephant in the room should be noted. Gender identity is real. He said the, quote, unspoken suggestion running just below the surface that led adoption to these sorts of bans in the first instance is that transgender identity is not real. And the judge went ahead to criticize some of the so-called experts that the state relied upon in promulgating the ban. The judge continued, quote, any proponent of the challenge statute and rules should put up or shut up. Do you acknowledge that there are individuals with actual gender identities opposite of their natal sex, or do you not? Dog whistles ought not be tolerated. Well, hear, hear. Do we agree that there can be people that are different from ourselves if you happen to be a cisgendered person? And by the way, I want to note and correct myself. This is no longer referred to as gender dysmorphia. There's an evolved sense of how we talk about these things. And as the judge put it here, it is individuals with gender identities opposite of their natal sex. So I really think that some of these very simple truths that the judge tried to outline here are really important for us. Self-determination and the right for parents to engage with their faith leaders and medical professionals to make the decisions that they think are in the best interests of their children. So long as those things are based in the best thinking in medical science, right? And that's key here, right? Because the other thing that's oscillating in the background is indeed the prospect of conversion therapy, right? And conversion therapy, if we all remember, was this idea that was roundly criticized and rejected by basically any of the medical societies that we know pursue peer-reviewed, data-driven analysis of these sorts of questions, and said, trying to pray away the gay with your kid ain't the way to do this. But let me return to this decision. Some other interesting quotables here. In Judge Hinkle's ruling, he also brushed off the state's claim that professional organizations in support of medical treatment for gender dysphoria, or folks with gender identities opposite their natal sex, are biased. He actually calls out these other medical professionals as the biased ones. In other words, the ones that say, oh, providing gender affirming care is bad for kids. If ever a pot called a kettle black, it is here, Hinkle said. The statute and the rules were an exercise in politics, not good medicine. And I think we're at a really important moment in our country. We just saw the Supreme Court last week strike down and limit the EPA's ability to regulate air and water. Rejecting administrative branch experts, scientists in favor of what judges think. We just saw a month ago, a religious zealot appointed to the federal bench by Donald Trump in Texas saying that the Plan B pill, that's no good. Bet on the books and approved by the FDA for decades, substituting his religiously based judgment for that of learned experts. My fear is that if all things, no matter how ludicrous, are fine, if you can get any expert, no matter how weakly credentialed, to say it's fine, boy, that's a scary, scary thought. Because you can find an expert to say just about anything, just like you can find a lawyer to say just about anything. But let me not besmirch my chosen profession. My friend Mark, briefly, what do you have to say about the judge's ruling out of Florida?
Well, I think it's a good ruling. I mean, the fact of the matter is, and I'm switching gears a little bit on what I was going to say, is that there's actually in the knowing a little bit about biology, there's actually in the animal kingdom, there's actually species that actually switch sex, you know, depending on how old they are. I mean, I think there's some fish species, you know, vertebrate species that, you know, they're born as a female and they switch to a male or vice versa, depending on, you know, the different species. I mean, that it is just the fact that these guys don't understand that biology is not necessarily fixed at birth, but as far as, you know, that, as far as for sexuality, I mean, what sex,
gender identity. I don't think, Mark, we have to go to any other species. Folks have challenged their gender identities and chosen to live in the world with a different gender than identified at birth for all of human history. There are records of this. So we needn't look to fish or any other group of living beings to understand that this has been always and forever part of the human condition. Listen, we're going to talk more about this. I also want to hear, hey, are you worried about effectively the attack on expertise in this country? Because I sure am. When did bureaucrat become a dirty word? 844-967-2789. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show, and you're listening to us on Civic Media. Back with more in a moment.
On the block, the crime was looking up truth.
And ain't that the bombshells of my daily fears explode. Galileo's crime was looking up the truth. I think that's what we're confronted with these days. Evan, I see. Thanks for that hookup, man. Appreciate that. The truth that we're talking about is this constant derogation of expertise, this loss of an idea that there can be, not infallibly, but a collective understanding from the people that have studied and spent the most time on the planets engaging with a particular nuanced topic. And this happens to be one of those things. And the judge here really put his finger right on it, that this is about human dignity, self-determination, and this is about a complete gaslight, attacking the totally established medical best thinking on gender identity and substituting it for thinly credentialed political theater. I talked yesterday about one of the things that I hate most about politicians, and it's when they are performative and not informative, which is a version, a way of exploiting people's fears or lack of expertise in an area to motivate us to do something that we might otherwise not be inclined to do. On this show, we're going to try to return to values. I think my values do lie with expertise and experts, and I think my values do align with self-determination and families taking care and making decisions in their best judgment. We have Jeannie from Eau Claire. What do you think? And Jeannie, are you worried about the fact that we don't seem to be valuing experts anymore. And what do you think about this judge's decision? Welcome, Jeannie.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for showing. I'm really glad you're on the air. Okay, so in all honesty, having worked with kids in the psychological area, this is downright abusive. This is abusive to subject kids and to make them targets. I mean, this, you know, it is sick. I have never seen anything like it in my life. You've gone to school. I've gone to school. You study everything you can. You come out. You want to make things better for people. And these people are just, they're outright exploitive and abusive for political gain. And it makes me angry, and it makes me nauseated and sick. So I'm so glad you're on so you can enlighten people, because they need to know the truth. So thank you so much, Maggie Dawn.
Thanks, Jeannie. Great to hear from you. And here's the impacts that we're talking about. You know, the elevation of protestation over content has very real world results. And oftentimes it is the people at greatest risk that pay dearly and pay with their lives. Reading again from the article that was in the Tampa Bay Times today about one of the families that was impacted by DeSantis's so draconian ban on gender affirming care. A St. Johns County mother said her husband is stationed in Florida as a senior officer in the U.S. Navy. The restrictions put them in a, quote, impossible position. She said, because they cannot move to another state where the rights of parents are truly respected and upheld. We worry daily about what will happen to our otherwise happy, healthy, thriving daughter if she is forced to go through with what she has described as her worst nightmare, becoming something she isn't, the mother said. Torture is the only word I've identified to adequately describe the feelings of terror a parent experiences in a situation like this. What if there was one medical treatment that could save your child's life, and the government told you you couldn't access it? Todder Billy from the North Side, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What are your thoughts?
I agree with you that expertise is being disregarded in our culture far too much in many areas. And, you know, I don't know when to draw it back to. I mean, certainly there's been an intellectual thread in American life probably forever. But when it really became so prevalent, I'm not sure. But I can also understand it, because, you know, there certainly are areas where the experts are maddeningly, you know, holding us back. Economics is one area. I don't give credence to traditional economic theory that's been taught for decades and is still being taught, even though we have a much better understanding of economics based on data now instead of theory, that, you know, helps us understand that you grow an economy from the bottom up and the middle out, the way that President Biden's trying to do it. And, you know, this supply and demand, you know, Keynesian, you know, nonsense is nonsense. It's just ideas that don't hold up to reality. Things like, you know, that the minimum wage is going to drive down jobs. It just isn't true. If you raise the minimum wage, things get better for everybody.
Well, you raise a bunch of really important points. Thanks so much for your call. Let's talk about economics. Nobody turned the dial yet. Like, don't turn me off, because we're about to talk about economics. As an economist, I know this stuff is so important. And I think you made such a good point that experts have to stop talking to one another and start talking to us in language that is understandable. And I'll just offer this. For the entirety of modern economics here in the United States, most of the theory has always been premised on the assumption that capitalism works best. And even with those fundamental policy viewpoints in place, the most objective economics proves up exactly what our friend just said, that you grow economies from the bottom up and from the middle out. Hang on, we'll be back with more in a few moments. I am Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. Join us, 844-967-2789 here on Civic Media.
How long till my soul gets it right?
Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show on Civic Media. You can join us, 844-967-2789. I especially want to encourage folks that maybe have thought about calling but never do call into radio show call-ins. This bud's for you. Call us up and let us know what you think. We've been talking about expertise and experts, and effectively, you know, the fact that mostly from the right, you see a lot of people deriding folks that have spent their lives studying a particular area. And I think we've also vilified lack of knowledge amongst us regular folks, right? And that's equal a problem. You know, if somebody's willing to learn and engage in a discussion, painful though it may be, yeah, that's something I can get down with, right? That not knowing isn't itself a character flaw, but is the opportunity to demonstrate, again, a value that I think we share here, and that's humility. Humility to say, I don't know. Hey, let's talk about it. That, I think, is where we've lost each other, right? Is that inability for us to say, maybe I don't know, and tell me more about what you think about that. What do you know? Where'd you get that from? Great, let's test these ideas together. A common value I think we all share is that humility. We want to learn. We need to learn. I don't want to remain ignorant. I want to get better. And I do that by listening to folks that may have spent a little bit more time looking at an issue or thinking about something. Well, speaking of somebody that might know a little bit more, Northwoods Terry, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say?
Well, here we go, Maggie. I had a guy that owns three franchises. Fast food franchises. We were talking about minimum wage. This is probably a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. And the number was 15, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot for 15. And he kind of pushed back on the 15. And I but the it continued on, me pushing back, him pushing back at me. And he said, well, why stop at 15? Why not go to 50 if that's the answer? That was this smart aleck reply to me in the end. Why stop at 15? Go for 50, Maggie. That was his reply. I guess he stumped me.
Well, now, and don't you think that's sort of the classic red herring, let me paint the extreme to deride a common sense middle ground. Doesn't hold much water as a point of rhetoric or economic fact, right? Where are you sitting on expertise and the minimum wage, Terry?
Oh yeah, I'm with that caller that called in before. Build the economy from the bottom up, but you know, you don't have to get crazy. But we know what the poverty level is. We know what the poverty line is. You know what we know what rent is. We know what groceries are. We know what gas is. So you got to establish a number. You know, maybe
basic math, right? Like we know how much it costs for a regular person to get through day to day life in different regions. And frankly, $15 for most folks, that ain't even cutting it. Thanks for the call, Terry. I appreciate that. Yeah, there has to be a coming together of what we know from our lived experiences, which may be limited because we're only walking in our shoes, right? What we can learn from other people and expertise. I often tell people when you're talking to experts, if what they say doesn't hold any common sense water, ask them some more questions. If they use words you don't understand, ask them what that means, because you'll find out real quick if that expert actually is an expert in reality. Dana from La Crosse, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show.
Hey, Maggie, welcome aboard. Good to hear you on your own show. You sound great.
Thank you.
Actually, the whole network sounds great. You guys are just really sounding good, professional. Everything's great. And I haven't heard anybody yet, so I'd like to give a shout-out to Carrie Barr. She is great as well. What a great voice.
Yeah, Terry's been a longtime voice on radio and a great asset. What do you have to say about expertise and the minimum wage or this judge's decision coming out of Florida today, affirming self-determination and a family's right to guide their children's development as they see fit? What do you have to say, Dana?
Oh, boy, so many different directions I could go. Well, the way I see it, the way I recall it, you know, when right-wing media really accelerated, you know, they would start, you know, they'd have their paid, quote-unquote, experts, quote-unquote, I should say, out there all over their airwaves, negating what real experts are saying. And it's really ramped up during COVID, of course. Remember the doctors in the white coats out there in the front of the Supreme Court and all their pushing of the alternative treatments and all to, you know, they didn't realize they were just being shills.
Well, I think many of them did, but didn't care, right? The profit motive. Thanks for the call, Dana. If you're on the line, hang on there. I'll get to you. I think the profit motive here, you know, experts can be bought and sold, right? Just like politicians can. And there's a lot at stake here. I think the pinnacle of the anti-expertise, anti-knowledge sort of moment in our country has been COVID, right? Because I feel a certain way, then these experts don't know what they're saying. Listen, we got to be able to do better. We got to be able to say when we might not know. We got to be humble and talk to one another. Kevin, I see you from West Dallas. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. Kevin, you there?
Hello?
Go right ahead. You're on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Okay. So I'm trying to figure out a good way to figure out the difference between a couple weeks ago, a judge voted that you could not use ivermectin in a self-determination treatment of COVID. And a judge is voting that people have the right to determine. So where do you draw the line in how determination is factored from a legal sense?
Yeah, I think that's an awesome question. Thanks for that, Kevin, and thanks for listening. I would put it here. What does the bulk of scientific thinking say? And unlike COVID or the coronavirus, someone making a self-determination decision about their gender identity doesn't cause ripple down effects on anyone else, right? So we, when we're talking about infectious disease or epidemics, we have to understand that when we self-determine in that space, we don't determine just for ourselves, right? This is the same sort of complexity that I think it would be great if we could engage in when we talk about guns. I understand the Second Amendment exists, right? But I also understand that the proliferation of guns in this country, in my opinion, has led us to a place where an individual's right to own a weapon has now started to encroach on my right to be safe or my child's right to be safe in a school. So I think, one, we have to look at when we talk about medical things, what is the state of the art in medical thinking? And there's an overwhelming consensus when it comes to gender affirming care. Just very briefly, so I'm not just saying words, here are the facts about that. The American Academy of Pediatrics supports gender affirming care for youth. The Endocrine Society, a global medical organization, as well as the World Professional Association for Transgender Health. So, how does that distinction sit with you, Kevin, that we've got a different thing when we're dealing with an infectious disease versus gender identity, which is about that individual person?
It's kind of the overarching feature of trying to figure out where the line of government lies, because I could argue the same thing about my own use of, say, marijuana or any other illicit drug could only affect me, but it's still illegal. yet.
I couldn't agree with you more. And Kevin, listen, this was quite the call right here. Keep listening, buddy. I really appreciate your call. And he's putting his finger on right where we should be debating these days, right? About these competing interests. When do my rights start to encroach upon your well-being? That's where real policy debate can be had. And it only can be had if we're actually talking to each other about a common set of facts and acknowledgement that the proliferation of guns, for example, may negatively impact some folks and maybe some groups of folks more than others. And to Kevin's point, again, couldn't agree with you more. Why shouldn't I be able to do drugs in my own home? I've made this argument, and I think shared it on The Devils and some other shows. As an economist, and most studies that I've seen by reputable economists show that when you legalize and regulate and tax drugs, and you combine that with a rigorous, non-judgmental, non-shaming drug treatment infrastructure, one, crime goes down, two, you generate more revenue for government and the social services we need, as well as the treatment centers that we need for folks, and all else being equal, you actually end up with less people incarcerated and less people addicted to drugs in the long run. So Kevin, I couldn't agree with you more. Big questions need to be asked about where do we draw the line with government incursion on our rights. And I think that question can be reframed, as we're trying to do here on the Maggie Dawn Show, in terms of values. And if we can speak to each other a bit more about values, maybe we can have more informed, more intentional, less hysterical arguments about where that line should be drawn. Now, I would say that most of us, if I can riff on this idea a little bit, most of us would say we want free, fair, transparent, and accountable elections. And that when we talk about those ideas, the how becomes very important. I don't think Democrats or Republicans want people voting who aren't qualified electors, meaning non-citizens. But the question, the debate that we're trying to have as a government and as a people, as a democracy, is how do we ensure that? And part of that discussion has to be informed by the reality on the ground that certain measures, which may seem very reasonable and not a big deal to one group, may in fact dissuade or make it more difficult for other groups to vote. And let's talk about voter ID in that vein, right? On face value, it seems certainly totally real. Well, show a photo ID. How hard is it to get a photo ID? Well, plenty hard if you're really poor, you don't have a car, you can't get to the DMV at the right times. If you're elderly, if you are yourself have a physical disability, if you're young and mobile, et cetera, because you're in college. These things, can't we just say, yep, mm-hmm. That's more difficult for those people. And so all else equal, those people will be less likely to vote with that. Why can't we say that? And why can't we say the further statement that Black people are poorer in the state of Wisconsin? That makes it harder for Black folks to vote. Then we can actually have a debate. The thing that troubles me the most is not only are experts derided, not only is information derided, in other words, oh, well, these are alternative facts. There's no such thing as that. But when you do this, right, when you erode shared facts, when you erode experts, it becomes very easy to speak only to metaphor, hyperbole, and emotion. And I believe that there's one party that tends to be doing a little bit more of that these days, and I'll give you one hint. It's not the Democrats and cool head Joe Biden. You didn't see Joe Biden out there thumping his chest before the default deal was announced. No, you didn't hear anything from him. And this gets back to, again, one of the things that I hate most about politicians. Performative, not informative. That is done to exploit. When it sounds like a soundbite, it has to be. Ask the question. The internet has become the great information equalizer. It's also being used to manipulate you, those algorithms. Don't just read what it feeds you. Go beneath. Well, at least here on this show, we're always trying to offer that up. Listen, as we get ready for our last segment here, I want to ask everybody to weigh in on this one. Breaking news. LIV Golf, Live, I don't know what they call it, just merged with the PGA. Holy cow, we're going to do business with the Saudi Foreign Wealth Fund? That's pretty incredible. Call me up. Tell me what you think about it. Was this a good idea? The PGA and LIV Golf now merged? 844-967-2789. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. I got for you, and that is Real Love. I am Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. Welcome back, everybody. If you want to weigh in on the PGA LIV golf merger, give me a call, because what? 844-967-2789. Apparently the dollar reigns supreme, even if it's blood money from Saudi Arabia, where they kill journalists and women don't have real rights, and you know, probably one of the world's worst records of human rights abuses. To the PGA, all that goes out the window. I can't believe that this broke today. And who knew that they were talking about doing this? The article in the New York Times just breaking over the last couple of hours today, saying that apparently secret talks have been ongoing between Live or Live Golf and the PGA since the Masters tournament ended in April. Secret talks? This just all seems a little weird to me. Anybody else troubled by this out there? PGA, total sellout. 844-967-2789. Here's what's happening. So this is not a new one out of the despicable government playbook, right? Just not new. Putin hosted the Sochi Olympics. This is what tyrants, dictators, and really bad dudes do. I mean, there's a whole conglomerate of internationally known criminals that have bought up soccer teams. The Saudi Sovereign Wealth Fund also bought a Premier League soccer team. They sponsor Formula One. They sponsor boxing cards. This is what you do to try to legitimize yourself and like slowly seep into the consciousness of everyday folks who happen to watch this stuff. Oh boy, I've got a first-time caller to the Maggie Dawn Show. I believe his name is Michael Kroot. Mike, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you say about the PGA?
Maggie, I think you're missing what's really happening behind the scenes.
Oh, tell
me,
Mike.
You're in bed with the LIV, with the Saudis, don't you?
Through the golf, of course, it's the Trump family. Jared Kushner takes what?
$2 billion,
right? Yep.
Well, here's the interesting part. Someone from the PGA said effectively, Donald Trump would never be able to host a U.S. Open at his golf course. Well, that was the PGA's version of it. But Donald Trump's in bed with the LIV Golf League. And here's what you may not know, Maggie Dawn. Donald Trump had one prior foray into major league sports. And I don't mean WWE and shaving Vince McMahon's head. What I mean specifically is Donald Trump was the owner of the New Jersey Generals. And not only did he bankrupt his team, he bankrupted the entire USFL. He made a bad bet. He took down the entire league. And effectively, look it up, Donald Trump killed the USFL, the only rival league to the NFL to date, one that had a chance of working out. And with Donald Trump's interference on the back end, Donald Trump could kill professional golf at both the LIV and the PGA. That's my prediction.
One can only hope. I subscribe to the George Carlin theory of golf, which is, boy, that's a crooked stick. You hit this tiny little ball, you find it, pick it up, go home. You're a winner. Instead, you pick a different crooked stick and hit it again. By the way, we could probably solve all of the homelessness problem in our country if we just converted all that beautiful, lush green space. Oh, and where do they have a ton of golf courses in this country? Arizona. where we're running out of water makes no sense. Here's what some of the biggest and brightest stars in golf, thanks Mike for calling, had to say today. Of course, Phil Mickelson, sellout that he is, awesome day to day. Mackenzie Hughes, PGA Tour player, quote, nothing like finding out through Twitter that we're merging with a tour that we said we'd never do that with. Michael Kim, another tour player, quote, very curious how many people knew this deal was happening. About 5 to 7 people. It's supposed to be a player-run organization, right? Brandel Chambly, a longtime Golf Channel analyst, summarized it this way. This is one of the saddest days in the history of professional golf. I do believe that the governing bodies, entities, have sacrificed their principles for profits. What say you, Tom, from L.A.? Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show.
First, Maggie, congratulations on the show. It's going to be awesome. We the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. It's so disgusting. Money and everything right now is so disgusting, whether it's politics, whether it's sports, whether it's, you know, this corporation fighting this corporation. I mean, this is just enough. Come on, people. Please, please wake up. Wake up and know that you are the ones that actually – we collectively run all of this stuff. It's not the politician. I know we have a democratic or representative democracy, but please stand up and say enough is enough and start spending the return on investment of the money from our taxes on we the people rather than on the billionaire class and rather on all these other things that don't – we get nothing back as a return on investment. If we were good business people, we look at it and say, man, we don't get anything back from our taxes. No wonder everybody's upset. So yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. And I just hope everybody wakes up and, you know, enough is enough. They're ruining everything there possibly is.
Yeah. Money is corrupting. Money at the scale that you're talking about with the Saudi, sovereign wealth fund is corrupting perfectly in all forms. And yeah, I remember the USFL. Boy, Trump killed that, but quick. I mean, only Trump could kill a nascent football league, like so hugely popular here in the United States. And here's what I want to say, Tom. I actually want to make the point that I think your tax dollars work incredibly hard and incredibly efficiently here in local government. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the sales tax and the shared revenue bill that's currently sitting in Wisconsin State Senate. They could fundamentally alter the way that we live here in Wisconsin, not just in Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, but throughout the state. I believe we can have that discussion rooted in our values. What is important to us as Milwaukeeans, as Madisonians, as Rhinelander folks, as Ashland folks, as La Crosse folks, what are the values and how are we going to express them in this sales tax and shared revenue bill? Are you going to be voting yes or no on it if you're here in Milwaukee County? You can call up tomorrow. That is going to be topic number one in the queue, 844-967-2789. We're coming up to the end of it here. I just wanted to say this about the PGA-LIV merger. I don't really care about golf, but when you are willing to do business with people that engage in widespread human rights abuse, who kill journalists, that is shameful and inexcusable. So shame on you, PGA. You don't have my seal of approval because I don't see the values in that. This is Maggie Dawn. You've been listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Tune in tomorrow on Civic Media. I'm